Welcome to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books.
My name is Jill.
And my name is Michael.
Catch us every other Wednesday talking about books, publishing, indie bookstores, chatting with authors, and so much more.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Book It Pod for more Book It content.
Want to read something you heard about on today's episode? Visit us at bookshop.org/shop/BookItPod. Hey, Michael.
Hey, pal.
How's it going?
It's going fine. We had like a really lovely, like the last weekend was really hot. It was like summer hot.
It was nice.
It was just like too much for me, but it was nice. But I spent a lot of it outside, and I had friends who kind of helped me force that because the warm weather made me instantly feel on red alert for cicadas.
Oh.
I'm not convinced they're not coming back.
Yeah. It was last summer. It was whoa.
With miserable.
Cicadas. Yeah. They're not coming back. It's going to be a good year.
Yeah. How are you?
Good. Yeah. We didn't know how to act this weekend because I don't know how to announce the spring is going, but the Cincinnati weather, we are recording this the very last week of April, and it has snowed.
Yep.
Up until like last week.
Mm-hmm.
Rained so many days. I don't know how many days of precipitation we've had, but it's practically all of them. So the sun came out and there wasn't any liquid falling from the sky. And we didn't know how to act. I mean, we just spent the whole weekend outside. And Sunday evening, Mark kept trying to like, oh, let's get the kids. Let's get them moving towards baths and bed. And I couldn't do it.
Sure.
I was like, this is the first time they've been allowed to be outside.
And it was like it was like close to 90. And then like 3 days later, it was 40 again.
Yeah. I mean, we're back in pants and sweatshirts. But at least the sun is out. So.
Yeah. And today I just read Dr. Fauci announced that we're out of the pandemic phase.
Oh.
Like officially we're out of the pandemic phase.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And we'll see how long it lasts. But it's the first time he's ever officially suggested
said that. Well, that feels like it has to be good news.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm planning a social at the middle school, which is taking place this Friday, and it's wild.
This will be your oldest kid's first dance?
Yes. And they didn't want to do just a strict dance. So it's also, it's sort of after prom style. There's going to be a DJ and a dance area. But there's also going to be lawn games, a TikTok zone.
Wow.
Dodgeball.
The times have changed.
And lawn games. So I don't know. We're going to see. If it doesn't kill me, it's going to be fantastic.
It sounds fun. I think I would have liked that way more than in just a standard dance in middle school.
That's what I think it's a great idea. But we've sold like 420 tickets. Wild.
Oh my gosh.
Every moment that I'm not working this week is spent on this.
Not dance.
I have a fun book related anecdote.
Tell me.
I can't remember if I told you this already. I told a lot of people because I was excited. So I went and got my hair done. Was that last week?
It must have been.
Yes, last week. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when you walk in a space and you can feel like something's going on, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It was like that. And I got checked in and it was like several minutes. I had to wait a bit for the person who does my hair to come out, which is unusual. And then I come out and there's like a couple chairs down, there's a young girl in the chair, like, I mean, she's probably, I should have Googled her. She's in her teens or 20s. And she's getting her hair, like, it's getting like bright pink, like halfway underneath. But like, there's all these people around and everyone's like, oh, it's so great. It's this, it's that. And they're, she's like, you know, and then somebody's like, well, let's see it braided. Let's see it like this. Let's see it like that. Let's see it like the other. And I'm like, this feels really intense for a hair appointment. I guess this is like what's going on. And then like she goes to leave and like my stylist is like, oh, hang on. Cause I guess my stylist had cut her hair and then somebody else did the pink and they like went over and they're taking pictures. And I'm like, what is going on? And she leaves and she said, that was, this is a terrible name. This is a terrible story. I should have Googled this person. That's so-and-so. She's starring in the adaptation of this book that's becoming a movie. And I said, what book is it? And she said, Turtles All the Way Down.
What?
They're filming it in Cincinnati. And I said, I'm sorry, what? And my brain exploded because you know how I feel about the John Green books.
To learn this.
John Green is somewhere in the Cincinnati area, okay?
What the hell?
And the person who cuts my hair cut the girl who's playing the main character's hair. It's like we have a connection, right? So yes. It turns out that the stylist who was doing the color, she's like the main hair person for the production. She's leaving the salon. The girl who cuts my hair is taking a 3-month leave of absence because she's assistant hair person on this production. And now I've told the story to like my mom and several of my friends, and John Green is in town. Who knows where? I mean, I'm probably going to have a police tale after this because yeah. I've talked about it. I promise I'm not stalking you because I don't know where you are yet. So he's talking about it on TikTok now this week that they're here and they're filming.
Oh my God.
And every time he posts one, someone or multiple people send it to me. Like 2 nights ago, somebody sent me one where he was in a Meijer here in Cincinnati and he picked up, they had copies of his book in stock at the Meijer. So he was like secretly signing them. And I was like, I've never been in a Meijer before. What Meijer is this? Like,
do you know which one it was?
No. Where are they filming this, Michael? How do I get to go see it? I mean,
we honestly like that. We should scout. Like that would be so
how
fun.
Do I make this happen? I was just like, I said to the girl who's cutting my hair, I was like, you don't understand. Like I'm a John Green fan from like 2007 when he was on Blog Brothers with his brother and he had like 3 books and nobody knew who he was.
Well, she's your in.
I know, but so this is a newer person. She's only cut my hair 3 times.
Yeah.
And I don't have like her cell number. Okay. I did mention to her that I needed to know immediately if she met John Green, and she kind of laughed, and I was like, but no, really.
Has she?
I don't know.
She would have told you yes.
And so it turned out like, so that was the person who's playing Daisy. She was getting her haircut. Like the director was there to like approve the hair. And the reason they were doing it all the different ways was to make sure that it was showing the way they want it to, like on the film.
Wow. The director is like very young. Sorry. I'm looking this up as.
Yes, please do. Because I don't know where they're filming this in town, but I need you and I to go and hang out of a 100%. Day and just be like, I don't know.
Daisy. Oh, she's adorable.
Yeah, she was super cute. I did not recognize her, but yeah, no. I'm also not really in the target demographic for this movie. Same.
She was born when I was fully like studying for algebra.
Awesome. Wow. Was she born before or after my children?
When were your children? Do you want to say?
2008.
Oh, before.
Okay.
She was born in 2002.
Okay, good. She can't be my child. I feel better.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess biologically she could be, but not, it would be unlikely.
They're being very secretive about this. There's only 4 people, four people listed on IMDb. And the director, who was born in 1993. This is...
Oh, wow.
That's very harsh for me to say out loud.
I was in high school then. Wow.
I can't believe that. I knew they were making a movie, had no concept of it being filmed here. No idea.
No, I didn't either. No idea.
What a small world. Truly, what a small world of all of the places. And I was trying to figure out, like, what could this possibly be? When you said, like, I should have Googled her after, I was like, Googled this person? Like, this is about to be a celebrity? I can't believe that. And not just because of, like, what are the odds, but what are the odds of it being related to one of your favorite authors of all time?
I know. And I'm like, John Green is in town. Like, how do we get him on the podcast?
Oh, that's our number one.
Because that's, obviously I can make that happen.
I don't think it's impossible. Like, I don't think it's impossible.
All right. We'll talk after we record this episode because I don't know how to do it and not seem like a stalker. Because I literally legitimately wanted to know. I have a signed copy of Turtles All the Way Down. Yeah. And in fact, I made Mark go with me to see John Green when he visited on that book tour. So, and you had to buy a book to get, that was the ticket. So I have two signed copies of this book.
Of course.
And yet I was overcome with this overwhelming feeling that I needed to figure out what mire that he was standing in.
Of course.
As if you can somehow tell the difference between mires.
I know. I asked which one. Like. I've been to one mire in this city.
Other people know this about me. I have fully committed to ordering my groceries online. I have not set foot in a grocery store in 3 years.
Yeah. Silver linings.
Much less a mire. So there was no chance I was ever going to recognize where it was. So that was my big excitement last week.
Oh, gosh. You really like had quite a week.
I know. I was like saving it. I couldn't remember whether I told you. My intention had been to save it so that your reaction good for you.
Well done.
Was like, it's very hard to not tell you things.
Well, especially when it's bookish related.
Yes. And because I was with my friend Amy on Friday and I had, of course, told her. And then the two of us called you about something totally unrelated. Right. And by the way, if you call Michael in the middle of the day and start screaming about Jane Austen and you're like so wound up for no apparent reason, he just acts like it's totally normal.
I just sat with the phone a little bit away from my ear and listened and I was like, sounds good.
I'm excited. The three of us are going to go see an exhibit with the costumes from all the Jane Austen movies.
Cannot wait.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right. So today's book club, I have no good transition. I don't know.
Well, Jane Austen, you know, Pride and Prejudice, a book.
You're so right. You're so right. Okay. That definitely ties in.
Yeah.
Today's episode is our first book club episode of 2022. Book club is back.
Kind of like completely without any, we were so organized about it last year. We were like, once a quarter, and now we're like, whenever we feel like it.
Very true. But also because, and we talked about this a little bit, I loved our picks last year, but they also kind of stressed us out because three of the four books we selected and lined up the author interview before we had read the book. We got like brand new, like, let's get ahead of the curve and do like new front list, which was exciting, but also stressful.
Yeah, because then we felt immediately like, oh, there's a lot of pressure here to, I don't think we can't do that, but we have to change how we do that. Like,
yes.
We need to, well, I don't know. I was going to say we need to like maybe read an arc of a front list before and be like, you know what I mean? We were not reading them. We got very lucky. Like, we ended up liking them a lot. But I don't want to feel that way ever again. Like, I'd rather just, well, and I will say, like, you read this book before me. I just read it. Like, I finished it a couple of days ago.
Yes.
So even in that way, like, if one of us has read it and thinks it would make a good book club selection conversation, I much prefer that than both of us going in blind.
Yes, both of us going in blind is just like, fingers crossed, fingers crossed, fingers crossed. Yeah. I think this is going to be great. This just, it's bringing down my blood pressure.
100%.
So I'm super excited. So our first book club pick for 2022, yes, we are halfway through the year, is The Reading List by, who wrote this book?
Sarah Nisha Adams.
Thank you. was like, I don't remember. I read this book at the end of last year. And before I was even finished with, it was one of those books that before I was even finished with it, I was already telling people they had to read it. And specifically telling Michael that he had to read it. Let me do a brief overview and then we'll talk about why. So it is told from multiple perspectives. One of them is Mikesh. He's an older gentleman who recently lost his wife. And he stops by the library to return one of the books she had checked out before her death. And there he ends up forming an unlikely friendship with Alicia. She works at the library, initially not because she loves books, but it's a job and she's dealing with a lot at home. And they have kind of a tense first interaction. He wants a book recommendation. She's like, I don't have one for you. And then after that, this slip of paper falls out of one of the books and it has a list of books on it. And she uses that a little bit as a peace offering and says, hey, a lot of people read this book and like it. Maybe you should give it a try. She decides to read the books on the list and in turn begins to recommend them to others, specifically to Mikesh. And their friendship grows, their circle of friends grow as the books work their magic. It's told from a sampling of characters' perspectives. It's a beautiful and quiet story about friendship and grace and grief and self-doubt. It's perfect for book lovers. I read it and then begged Michael to read it, mostly because the very first book they talk about is The Time Traveler's Wife, the book that I think neither of us have read, but we have now discussed on like 8 episodes of this podcast.
No, I've read the book.
Oh, you've read it and I haven't.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you hadn't read it.
I have never read this book. Every time we talk about it, I'm always like, so I've seen the movie.
Yeah. You should read it. I thought about that too. I thought about that with a lot of the books that were on the list. Like, we happen to have been talking about quite a, well, I'd say like half of them recently.
Yes. Let's jump in. Let me share with everybody the list of books. Yes. I'm curious how many of you of them you have read. There's The Time Traveler's Wife, which I was a no for.
Oh, are we saying as we go, I've read Time Traveler's Wife.
The Life of Pi.
I have not read Life of Pi.
I have. Pride and Prejudice, I was a yes.
Yeah.
To Kill a Mockingbird, yes.
Yes, of course. We all did.
The Kite Runner, yes.
No, I haven't read that. Remember that game we played where I hadn't read any of them? I believe that was on the list as well.
I'm never bringing another game to the podcast. Little Women.
On my TBR.
And of course, I've read it and won't shut up about it. Beloved.
I actually haven't read Beloved.
Oh, I love that one.
I read, I can't remember the one. I think I read Sula recently-ish. Is the most recent of her work that I read, but I haven't read Beloved yet.
A Suitable Boy. No. I hadn't read this, and I had not heard of it either.
Me neither.
I've got a copy now, but I haven't read it yet. Rebecca. I'm the only person on the planet, I feel like, who hasn't read that.
Oh, I thought you read Rebecca. You should read Rebecca. It's really good.
Yes, that is also, that book was also on the quiz.
Yeah, and that one, I aced that question.
Yes, yes. And I was like, that is the one I haven't read. Okay, so I want to talk, let's start with the characters. Like, they are all facing a different difficulty. They're all at different stages of their lives. They come from really diverse backgrounds and experiences. And yet I found myself identifying in different ways with all of them. How did you feel about the characters?
Well, first I want to say that I liked this book. I didn't love it. And I really wanted desperately to love it.
Okay.
And like on face value, it's like, what's not to love about it? A book about books and how they change. In fact, we've done a whole episode about that. Books about books. We love them. Mm-hmm. And the importance of libraries and how books can bring people together. Like, we stan it. I thought it was really charming. And I liked the beginning a lot. And as I went, I just wasn't I don't know how to say this. It was more simple than I thought it was going to be. And then I felt a little bit like, with the characters, I didn't really feel like I got to know any of them very well. Outside of Mikesh and Alicia, I do feel like, because they are, I mean, it's told through a lot of characters, but they are so central that I do feel like I know them pretty well. Particularly Mikesh. I really loved Mikesh. I think he's my favorite character.
Yes.
And we'll get into more of like, for me, it's like 3 out of 5. It's not bad. I just wanted to like, just, I wanted to love it so much. And I liked it. Mikesh, I think, was so, he like just endlessly, just by existing, was breaking my heart because he's 2 years into his wife having died, which is like a part of it that's really heartbreaking. He says something along the lines of like, he can't believe it's already been 2 years of life without her. And the little subtle ways that loss changes your relationships around you. His relationship with his adult daughters was just interesting in that they're very different than he is.
Yeah.
And a lot of his chapters started with just voicemails from them, like checking in. And for him, it feels kind of hollow. Like there's not a lot of room for him to be an individual, and they're just kind of like trying to take care of him, but not let him make any of his own decisions. But he's just so sweet and kind that he doesn't have the know-how to tell them that without feeling like he's going to hurt their feelings. I think that like adult children and their parents' relationships are really interesting to me. And I think they handled that really well, especially in his hope to move on. Like he makes a friend, which is also something I loved, was that it was truly just a friend. Never see that in fiction. And that he was like, I am lonely. She is kind to me. We keep each other company. And my children, you must accept this. It's a hard conversation to have. And I think he's able to have it because of the books he's read.
I love that perspective. I did see some other reviews of people who felt like you. Like,
oh, I haven't read reviews for this.
A lot of people were like you, like 3, 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Some people mentioned what you had mentioned, like, I wanted to get more, I wanted to feel more connected. And some people mentioned, without getting super spoilery, the way everything kind of shakes out in the end.
Do we want to, are we going to say?
I don't want to give it all away.
Okay.
But the way everything comes together in the end, a lot of people are like, cheesy.
Sure.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. But also, I cried.
So there's that. Yeah. Well, for me, it was less about, like, I had a feeling, well, okay. The concept of like the library being in danger, I don't feel like was particularly well fleshed out. Like the only real like thing we got from that was just the flyers that say save our library. But like it seemed for the whole book like that it was fine until the very end when it was like we should do something about this. They're like, oh yeah, I guess we should. And then I was like, so was the library in trouble? Like I really don't know. And I don't think the end was, like, tonally out of place. Like, I think, like, if it's a little bit cheesy, like, who cares?
Did you figure out who made the list in advance?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not, which is probably...
part of the fun.
I think, yes.
Yeah.
But, and I thought, and that was, like, in the discussion on book reads... I think that was a big dividing line, is people who are like, I saw this coming a mile away. And I was like, really? I missed it. And I'm wondering if that impacts how you, the experience of reading the end.
Well, that, again, like that didn't bother me because like, it's not, I don't think the author is looking for one or the other. Like, I don't think she wants you to be necessarily shocked by it. Because I think it's like a kind of just a comfort in knowing that this is what's happening all along. It doesn't feel like, a whodunit where like it's so obvious on page one. It's just like, yeah, that's who I thought was doing it.
Yeah.
So that was
that letter though.
Yeah.
The letter that had gotten lost and was found. Like, I'm in my car because of course I listened to this on audio. Just like tears running down my face. Like
very, I mean, not the same, but very same to the Gunkel letter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently a heartfelt letter is
from a loved one.
How I will cry.
The thing that really concerned me and really just felt like there's got to be a, there had to have been another way to do this was, I'm going to say it and then Maddie will have you bleep it.
Yeah.
I understand that like something had to happen to drive to the end, but that was so dark and grim and truly shocking.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of turned me off of it only because that character we didn't get to know at all. And I have a really hard time sympathizing with Leela.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she kind of gets off a little too easily in the end, because in the very end, Alicia's, they like embrace and Alicia's like, she wasn't mad anymore. She didn't have the energy to be mad. And I was like, girl, be mad. Like,
yeah,
this was intense. And you're an adult and, or you're not an adult and you're having to like, take care of her like an adult. And I just think like people are so afraid of anger as an emotion that they decide not to be anymore to keep the peace. And I just really wondered her, and I'm hoping, and in my brain, like this is the kind of story where like these characters' lives live on past the last page. In the reality of this story, I hope that she has the moment where she decides to say like, mom, this has been very hard for me and you hurt me in all these ways, because I think that that's important.
Yeah, no, I think that's really fair.
What did you think, though, like, in terms of character? Like, yeah. I loved Mikesh. I really loved Alicia.
I fell in love with both of them, and I really, with Alicia, you know, sometimes the child-parent relationship gets kind of turned upside down, where the kid is parenting the parent. And I definitely identified with that. We've kind of talked about my dad on past episodes. And that's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love how it was portrayed. Like, she just didn't have the capacity to care about anything else because she's carrying this burden. And I loved that her escape was books, and that she was able to use the books to develop empathy and self-care.
Even if it's just a slimmer of it, some connection with her mom.
Yeah.
They really struggled. Like, the mom was much closer with Alicia's brother, Aiden. I guess maybe just, like, trusted him more.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's not really – and I don't think it needed to be spelled out, because when is there ever a reason for that? But there's never really given a reason why. But for whatever reason, Alicia and her mom can't connect in the same way that Aiden's able to with her until she starts reading to her, even to the point where it surprises Alicia. Like, she's like, I had no idea she was listening to me while I was reading out loud. She's asking me questions. Like, she seems with it right now. And I think that is just like the nature of books that we forget. Even in this book, she's like, people tell her you should be reading real books. You want to be a lawyer, like, you should read these books instead. And she's just like, these are real books. Like,
yeah.
And I think that is an important conversation, especially in terms of like a person's mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. I also really liked, and I think this is one of the reasons why I liked Mikesh so much, but I really liked the depiction of, sounds so weird, I liked the depiction of his grief.
Totally.
I just felt like it was really authentic. And I liked how he would still talk to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember within like the first couple of years of when Mark's grandpa died, Mark's grandma one day was talking, you know, she'd forgotten to put gas in her car because in her entire life, she'd never done that. Mm-hmm. And so she was talking about needing to go somewhere, and there was no gas in her car because he had always filled her gas tank. And she said, she, you know, she looked up at the sky and said, I'm trying. Ugh. And, oh, I just remember it feeling like a gut punch. Like, you know, of course you're trying. Of course you're doing amazing. Of course this is really hard. And just, you know, sometimes when you're having a bad day or you're having a time when you feel really down, how those little things like putting gas in your car can make your whole world just come crashing back yes. down. And, you know, that one day, like it was early on, you know, he'd walked somewhere and he'd interacted with a lot of people. And it was like all of a sudden, just like the social stimulation was overwhelming. It was like, I need to sit down.
Yeah.
It just really rang true for me.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, I love that he made a friend with similar, like a similarly aged friend with adult kids. And they were friends and they shared their grief. And it wasn't yes. like, here's a replacement for my wife. It was, right. here's a friend. Here's somebody to walk this path with yes. me.
And the expectation, even as a reader, I was like, oh, this is leading to a romance. And to the point where, like, I didn't believe Mukesh when he was even telling me that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, because she had also gone through a very similar traumatic grief and was really, really good friends with his wife. Mm-hmm. Like, of course they're going to lean on each other. And why can't it be just that? And why can't that be as important and powerful as if he were to decide to move on and meet another woman who later has... Are we saying later he's unsure of if that would be honoring his wife or dishonoring her. And then even later it's revealed that like she probably would have been okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved absolutely. That. I loved their friendship.
I did too. And I really loved, I love it. And I have some criticism of it, but I loved his developing relationship with his granddaughter, Priya.
Yeah.
I loved that they connected through books. I wish we had seen and heard from Priya more.
Totally.
You know, it was mentioned several times that reading the same books was something she had done with her grandmother.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, gosh, what a devastating grief this is for her. But we didn't get to see a lot of that perspective. It was just kind of an assumption.
Yeah.
That we were making. I would have loved to hear more about the change she saw in her relationship with her grandfather, how the books were impacting her grief journey. But I did love their growing friendship.
I love that you say you wished you had seen more from her, because I agree. And I also think that's kind of my criticism with a lot of the characters in the book. It's like a quietly ambitious little thing. Like, mm-hmm. when you read the synopsis, it seems very, like, straightforward. But as you read it, like, there's a ton of characters. Mm-hmm. And you just don't anticipate it being as ambitious as it is. Within that, I think a lot of the characters kind of fell by the wayside. And then, I guess, ultimately, it felt like it was going to be leading to something. And then what it led to was just really quick, like mm-hmm. it's not a short book, and like there are characters who have maybe one-off chapters that are in their perspective where they also find a reading list, and so you're trying in your head, you're like, what's this leading to? How are they all going to meet up? And you think it's going to be more like a Love Actually situation, or like, you know, their lives are going to interweave in a certain way, but it just doesn't ever really do that. And then mm-hmm. the Alicia's possible romantic interest, Zach, like that doesn't really comes in and leaves forever and then comes at the very end again.
Yeah.
So I just think ultimately, like, there was a lot of world building here that fell by the wayside because the main story took precedence, of course.
Yeah.
I just wish then maybe she had scaled back a little and focused more on Priya, because that is a very important relationship. Like, I actually don't even think I needed the other character chapters that aren't Alicia and Mukesh.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that when I was reading it, but I definitely see that perspective. I definitely wanted more Priya. The incident that we're bleeping for spoilers. I did not respond as strongly as you did, mostly because it read to me like we learned about him through Alicia's eyes. And so often what people say after the loss of a loved one in this way is, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Or I knew that they were upset, but again, like, I had no idea. And she's so burdened with her own feelings about what's going on with her mother. I really took that as sort of a realistic portrayal mm-hmm. of that situation. But I can also, I can see it either way.
I think it just felt so heartbreaking and like hopeless. In a way that made me feel really sad for the character, like that his fate and arc was this. And I had a hard time imagining like other scenarios. I had a hard time not imagining other scenarios where like maybe, oh God, okay, bleep this if we have to. It's just, and the way it happens is really violent. And the aura that surrounds this book, which is like optimistic, hopeful light, it deserved that as well, especially for him, because of the, oh God, again, whatever, the book opens with him,
yeah,
like, and I just thought with that too that he'd play a much larger part in the book because mm-hmm. he is the first chapter. But yeah, I mean, like, it is in essence realistic, like what happens to him. What I don't like about it isn't because it's poorly done, I just wish it didn't happen.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that perspective. One of my favorite quotes was, books always change as the person who reads them changes too.
Oh, did Mukesh's wife say that to Priya?
Yeah, and it was in reference to like reading a book multiple times. Over
and
over again.
Oh, and I think she was rereading Little Women.
Yeah. And that just, I was like, oh man.
Yes, we talk about that all the time.
Yes, it was just, and when I heard it said on the audio, I was just like, I paused and I was like, oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, like, and so many of the books on this list that I had read are so much like that.
Can we talk really quickly about the representation of the books in this?
Yes.
I couldn't help but feel the author's personal opinions coming through.
Okay.
Because I think, and this is purely speculation, but like, she must hate Pride and Prejudice because neither of the characters liked it. And I'm actually like kind of frustrated me to read because it felt really like minimizing what the story is, which I think a lot of people do with Jane Austen. And just made it seem like frivolous, silly, soap opera-y romance.
Yeah.
And they really like, I was like, then why did you add this to the collection? Like,
I was torn because if everybody had liked all the books, I feel like that would also be disingenuous.
Absolutely.
But as a lover of Pride and Prejudice, I hate that it felt belittled, and especially in such a stereotypical way.
Yes, exactly.
So I was very torn about it. But yeah. I did really feel like they were going to have to come up on a book. It just wouldn't have been realistic. Like, you and I don't like all the same books.
Of course.
And we have really...
conversation.
And especially because, like, he's kind of an older guy.
Yeah.
And I don't... I think if you were going to be stereotypical, I think Pride and Prejudice is one of the books on the list. Like, if I were going to pick one and say, like, an older, like, boomer-aged guy is not going to go for this book, that's probably the one I would pick.
Yeah. Well, and going off of that, like, something that I think was possibly a missed opportunity here was, like, most of the conversation is around, like, how books can help us understand what we're going through. But I also think books help us understand what other people are going through and mm-hmm. lives that we could never embody and shouldn't try to, because like they're not ours to have, but we need to empathize with them. And so I think sometimes I was like Rebecca in particular felt like a stretch for me, that they could like both really makes like Rebecca seems like an opportunity for Mikesh to better understand Alicia's situation than for him to be able to like put some perspective on his own life for, because Rebecca's a gothic novel. The ghost of his wife being around, it just felt like a little bit of a stretch. And I wished there was more of that conversation about like the ability to empathize through books versus the ability to understand ourselves better through books. Because I agree. Like, I think that like I would have hated it if they each loved every book. But just something about the way that Pride and Prejudice, like they both kind of just were like, didn't love it. And then it moved on. Like that one felt the least amount of time spent
in the book.
In the book itself.
Yeah.
Anyway, is a personal issue.
No, I think it's fair pushback because I noticed it. And it's one of the things that I was thinking about as I read the book. Cause I was like, at first I was like sort of outraged. And then I was like, well, no, it's, you know,
yeah.
And I was kind of thinking it through, but I hear you, because that was also my initial reaction.
Yeah. I am curious about why these books, like what, because at the very end, the author puts her own list of books that she recommends that helped her through life, and they're not these. So I'm just curious about what made her choose these.
So I did read an interview with her that said her inspiration from the book was her relationship with her grandfather.
Right.
And books that they read together. So I was curious whether all of like both lists together were books that they had read,
yeah,
or whether these were books she thought would just suit the story. I am very curious about that. Oh, I have one other quote that I really liked.
Tell me.
And again, from Mikesh when he's talking to Alicia, and he says, "Please try and remember that books aren't always an escape. Sometimes books teach us things. They show us the world. They don't hide it."
Something I love about Mikesh, I just got chills, was how he really embodies that. Like because it isn't natural for him to, I don't want to say speak his mind, but just to be firm with people. And mm-hmm. and every time he would do that, he would just say like, okay, have an Atticus moment. Just like, that sounded like a thing that Atticus would say. And he really embodied what he was trying to say. Like, he wasn't just like bullshitting her. And
yeah.
And then by the end, he has a lot more patience with understanding where her headspace might be in at any given moment, especially after what happens. So he doesn't expect or anticipate a response from her from saying that, but he knows he still needs to say it.
Yeah.
Which I love. And he's just so sweet. I just love Mikesh. Like, I really,
I know. I want him story. To be a real person.
Yeah. He does feel real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything else you think we should discuss on this one?
I love the cover.
I love the cover.
I really love the author. We did a piece on her at work, and she just seems really lovely. I love that the book is inspired by her relationship with her grandfather. And just that, I like, until you had brought up the idea of doing the Books About Books episode last year, I hadn't even thought about it as something that happens particularly often. Mm-hmm. And this is the first book that I've read, not just Books About Books, but like the impact books can have on our lives, for specifically fiction. Like, people dismiss fiction all the time, and I appreciate that it took it seriously and offered some insight. Actually, I think you said this, that they were like, it wasn't a book about people who were already fervent readers.
Yeah.
It was a book about people who came to reading through other circumstances, mm-hmm. which I think is like very important. Because anybody at any point in your life can become a reader.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the things I really loved about this book. Because it wasn't like he reads, she reads. And,
yes.
and it was like neither of these people were particular readers. But reading came to them and met them at where they were on the road. And ended up creating the path that they walked. And I thought that was incredibly moving.
And just like friendships that cross generations mm-hmm. and I think are really sweet. And yeah, it's hard to talk about this book without talking about like the things that happened, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they are like really, any those criticisms that I might have with it are just like so minimal, minor to like the purpose of the book and the story and what it achieves, I think. Because there are a lot of people, I think, what I know exactly who should and would love to read this.
Yeah.
Have you heard from anyone else?
No.
Great. Well, when we have John Green on, we'll have him read it.
Yeah, there you go. No, yeah. I'm really bad. I am 100% a book pusher. And then I have no follow-up. Like, did you read that book? Did you like it? Like, that part apparently doesn't interest me. I'm all about the recommendation piece.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who knows?
We'll find out after this episode airs. Yes. Did you read it, listener?
Yes. So I'm curious, listeners. The listeners will tell us. Yeah. Have you read along with us? Are you going to read it now? What did you think?
Please let us know. If you have thoughts about this book, if you have any book recommendations for future book club picks, shoot us an email at info@bookitpod.com. Follow us on social, Instagram, Twitter at BookitPod. Head out to our website at BookitPod.com and our bookshop affiliate link, bookshop.org/shop/BookitPod. I really love book club and mm-hmm. I can't wait to do another one whenever we do another one.
On our new schedule-y unstructured book club. It's all good.
Awesome.
It's all good. Actually, Michael and I have an idea for the next book club that I'm excited about if it pans out, but it is a long shot.
It is the longest shot, but whatever. We shoot for the moon all the time.
We do. I mean, you know, who knows?
Yeah. And who knows, like, if that happens, it's on that person's, like, whenever they can do it, we will.
We'll make it happen.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books.
Book It is available across podcast platforms.
Subscribe to never miss an episode, and don't forget to leave a review before you go.
We'd love to stay in touch. You can find us online at bookitpod.com or on Instagram and Twitter at bookitpod.
Want to read something you heard on today's episode? Visit us at bookshop.org/shop/bookitpod.
Book It was created by hosts Jill Birgit-Ragasy and Michael Woodson, with sound design and production by Madeline Call at Honeysuckler.